Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, today I'm very excited because we're starting a brand new series on a portrait of God that's just absolutely fascinating, but also can be very confusing and even controversial. We're going to be talking about a portrait of God. And again, I see all of Scripture as a collection of portraits of God Himself. This one is how He is our creative healer. The Lord, our God, is our creative healer. And we're going to be taking a two-month series, 8 or 9 weeks here. We'll just see how it unfolds as we go along. But I'm so excited to share with you 20 message takeaways and key points in understanding how He is our creative healer. And we're going to be going all over the Scriptures. And if you have your Bibles, you can make your way to 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll actually just cover one of the 20 takeaways that we have, because this is kind of an introductory session to the whole topic of how He is our creative healer. And as you're making your way over to 1 Peter chapter 2, just a quick reminder that all of these 27-minute messages are archived on my website at markpg.org. When you get to that landing page, just click on the broadcast box, and then on the next page, just click on Portraits of God, and it'll take you to the series that I have been sharing with you over the airwaves, so you can catch up or listen to it again or share it with others. And by the way, let me just say, boy, if you struggle with physical infirmities and you know people that do, and you know there's a lot of disagreement about, you know, how God handles this and whys and all that stuff. Well, we're going to be covering all of that in this series. So you might let your friends know about this particular series and the website, markpg.org. And at the end of the series, I will also upload the outline of all the messages, you know, this message series, a one-page outline that gives you a glimpse and a glance at the big picture of how He is our creative healer. So hope you'll make your way to that website, markpg.org. And it all has one thing in mind: to help you hear God. It has videos, it has radio broadcasts, it has one-page outlines on all kinds of topics, has articles I've written for local publication books. Again, all designed to help you hear God. So I hope you'll check it out, markpg.org. And now, let's go before the Lord, as is our custom. Oh, and let's just ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm just so, so grateful for the privilege of being able to come together with my brothers and sisters over the airways and the internet to just sit at your feet, gaze in your eyes, and let you speak to us heart to heart. Lord, I am so excited about this series, about providing a portrait of You as our creative healer. And Lord, what a joy it was to prepare for this, just pulling together all the different notes, all the different times in my 40 plus years of ministry that I've taught on this subject, but pulling them all together and now crystallizing them into what we'll be sharing together in the next 8 or 9 weeks. So thank You, Lord, for the privilege of helping us see Your heart and Your ways in Your love letters to us. We look forward to the journey in discovering how You are our creative healer. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, as I just mentioned a little bit ago, this can be a controversial subject because there's so many different theological frameworks and models about healing, supernatural healing, or spiritual gifts, all those stuff. You know, there's the deliverance model that focuses on how demons cause most illness, and there's the overcoming faith model where the real key is to have faith. Then there's a liturgical model that says that healing comes through sacraments of the church. There's a healing team model of people that are prayer warriors, and they come and they lay hands on you for praying for healing. There's the spiritual / psychological inner healing model where we deal with unresolved sin or root issues. Then there's the evangelical model that says it's a gift of the Spirit and given by God's discretion, and we got to discern it through the gifts of the Spirit, and so on and so forth. Listen, I got some good news and I got some bad news about this. All right. The good news is every one of those have dimensions of truth in it. They are biblically based. So that's the good news. So all the different denominations or Christian tribes or ministry entities and all, you know, they're doing what they believe God has called them to do in a niche that they're fulfilling in the body of Christ. And I can rejoice in that. But the bad news is sometimes we can get so entrenched in our particular model or understanding of the way God operates that we can think everybody else is just wrong or heretical or naive. So the good news is all the models that you run across, they have dimensions of scriptural truth that are at work that are, I believe, you'll be seeing are valid as we go through our journey through the scriptures together. But I'm also saying not any of them are the sum total of how God operates. The Lord is our creative healer who cannot be formulized. And that's our key theme for this series. The Lord is our creative healer. And I use the word creative because he is so creative in everything that he does. So we cannot formulize the way he does things. Do we get base truths? Do we get some glimpses? Do we get some core values? Absolutely. But we cannot formulize it as if he's some kind of celestial slot machine. We just kind of plug in the right code and pull the lever. Boom, we get our healing. No, there's a lot more at play. And this is going to be a fun journey, really, as I just, hopefully, by the Lord's Spirit, able to give you glimpses of how it all works, how we can trust him, and have a good, positive, and appreciative journey through the topic of supernatural or spiritual or miraculous healing, and even, quote, regular healing or conventional healing, and see how it all really works together in the big scheme of things. So be encouraged, be open-hearted, and we're going to be looking at how the Lord, our creative healer, wants us to seek and trust him about many reasons why he allows physical infirmities. There are many reasons why he allows physical infirmities. And our first clue about that is how he wants us to understand that one of the reasons, and it's the first one of the 20, one of the reasons he allows physical infirmities is, number one, to gift us with priority healing. All right? To gift us with priority healing. Now, there's a reason I phrase it this way. Let me take you back to the burning bush. I love Exodus, the opening chapters of Exodus. It gives us the story of Moses and how he ended up in exile on the backside of the Midian Desert. And after 40 years there, he has this sighting of a burning bush up on the mountainside. He goes up and he discovers there's a voice there that calls out from this bush that's not being consumed that says, "Remove your sandals, for the ground upon which you walk is holy ground." And it turns out to be a conversation with the living God. And it is at the burning bush that we get a scriptural clarity and yet something that can be disturbing to some, where God is saying, you know, who makes the deaf man deaf? Who makes the blind man blind? Have you ever wondered Where was God when babies are born with birth defects of some kind? Where's God at, when all of these physical infirmities are taking place? Is he there? And the absolute truth is, yes, he is. And one of the reasons is to gift us with priority healing. Let me take you to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 through 25, with a passage that's quoted a lot in some segments of Christianity in some segments say that physical healing is guaranteed in the atoning work of Christ on the cross. Here's the passage as Peter reports it. He himself, this is 1 Peter 2, 24 through 25. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds, in some translations says by his stripes, you were healed. And they tend to stop there. And our good friends will say, well, see, this is where healing is guaranteed in the atonement if you just have faith. Well, that's one dimension that we'll get to a little later. But the passage actually goes on. It says, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. So applying the hermeneutical principle, hermeneutics just means interpretation. One of the things is, you always want to interpret a passage in light of its context. And in this context, when it talks about healing, it then is also referring to the Lord as the guardian of your souls. So what is the Lord healing? Is this a verse about healing your body? Is it about healing your soul, which is the mind, will, and the emotions? Or is it about your spirit? Because you see, we are a triune being. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, you might want to jot that down. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, it says this, now may the God of peace sanctify you completely. Or another translation says, entirely. How entirely? May your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, the great news I have for you today is that this wonderful passage about by his stripes we are healed is not just talking about one kind of healing. It's talking about healing of the spirit, healing of the soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and healing our body. The Lord has a definite interest in a heart to want to heal us, spirit, soul, and body. The question is, does he want to do it immediately, today, right now? Or is there a longer-term vision in mind? So, one of the best ways that the Lord has just taught me to really understand it and come to complete peace is what I want to share with you in this first takeaway, how he's gifting us with priority healing. I believe that this passage is saying, look, the Lord has a heart to heal you, spirit, soul, and body. Now, what has the greatest priority in the big scheme of things? Is it our spirit, which has the eternal dimension that will live with him forever? Our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, or our bodies, which are temporary earth suits given to us while we're here on earth. But for those who come to Christ, we gain eternal life, and we will get a new body later on when we physically die on this earth and go home to be with him forever. And we're going to talk about all those kinds of things as we go along. But the point I want you to see right now that really will free you up in understanding the Lord as our creative healer is that the Lord is going to heal you in the order of priority that he has in mind for us, depending upon our particular deepest need at any given day, week, month, year, or season of our life. What is he most interested in ultimately? Well, we know that it's the Spirit. He wants us to become saved so that the Spirit can be made alive to live with him forever and ever, because the Bible says that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. The Bible says that back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God told them, in the day that you eat of that, you shall surely die. Well, they ended up being tempted by the enemy. They ate, disobeying God, and God said, on that day you will die. Well, did they physically die? Well, no. Did their spirit, soul, did their soul die, their mind, will, and emotions? No. Because they still talked and walked and grieved and all that. What died? Well, it was the spirit part of them, of their tripart being, that died. So the Bible says we're dead in our trespasses and sin, but we're made alive. The Spirit is made alive when we come to Christ, when we get saved, when we become born again, when we enter covenant with Jesus Christ, when we become one with him. These are all biblical ways of saying the same thing. My friend, when we get saved, our dead spirit becomes alive, and now our spirit, our human spirit, can then connect and interrelate and coexist with the Spirit of the living God himself. That's the greatest healing that we can hope for, and the greatest healing that God gives to us. Now, let's look at that passage again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, with this top priority in mind. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, our spirit being made alive to righteousness. For by his wounds or stripes, we were healed. We were healed spiritually. So healed, we have to use a different word to really describe it. We were resurrected. Our spirit was resurrected. It was so healed, it was resurrected to be alive again, to be one with Christ. Is that just phenomenal or what? Where we were continually straying like sheep, it says, now if you return to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And I love that nod to the shepherd. You know, the Bible says over in Matthew chapter 9 that the Lord, or chapter 9 verse 36, that the Lord saw the multitudes, and with eyes of compassion, he saw them as downcast sheep, sheep without a shepherd. And a downcast sheep is one who would fallen on its back, and like a turtle that has fallen over on its shell, neither animal can get back to its feet on its own. The little turtle is stuck on the road, spinning around on his shell with his little legs dangling up in the air until some compassionate soul comes, flips him over, puts him back, and sends him on his way. Same thing with a lamb that was so woolly and on its back, those little black legs, spindly black legs, waving in the air, is going to die unless a compassionate soul, a shepherd, comes along and says, bless your heart, let's get you back up. And they're so frightened, they're so frenetically frightened. Sometimes those upside down sheep will actually try to bite and kick at the shepherd who's trying to save them. We can't point fingers at them, because if we're drowning, we do the same thing. We start frantically flailing about. The lifeguards come. We actually sometimes hit them, and they have to endure some punches just to help us to settle down. It's okay. I got you. You're going to be okay. It's okay. My friend, this is the spirit of salvation. The Lord is our compassionate shepherd who wants to save us. He wants to give us the ultimate healing of a resurrected spirit to become one with him. That's his top priority. But he also loves us so much, he wants our souls to get healing, because it's been damaged and ravaged throughout our years. We're going to talk about that as we go along. All kinds of things happen in this life that hurt us, mind and our will and our emotions and all, disorients us and binds us up and all. So he wants us to also have our souls healed, but he also has interest in our bodies being healed. Now the question for that one is, when and how fast, and in this life or the next life, but we'll get to that. What I want you to really get a grip of as we start our journey to discover the Lord as our compassionate, creative healer, is that He allows physical infirmities in order to be able to gift us with priority healing. When we are physically struggling, physically sick, physically ill, physically injured, we get more vulnerable. We get more open to being helped. And He is on the scene to offer us the gift of priority healing. So let me illustrate that. You know, I am so appreciative of all the people who serve as first responders in our culture. I mean, from the firemen to the EMS people, you know, and the first responders. Oh, my soul, what a blessing they are to us. And of course, what they're trained to do when there's been some kind of a huge explosion or a wreck on the highway or something, and they show up, or in a war-torn battlefield, those that come for the purpose of bringing healing, they have to perform what they call triage. Triage is where the medical professionals determine who has the most serious illness. What is the most critical, time-sensitive thing happening in this particular person? What needs to be done right now? Who needs to be taken in first, or else their lives are at stake? This is what triage is. It's determining what the priorities are in terms of the people going in, and also of how to treat the particular injuries that somebody has, and often there are multiple injuries. Well, my friends, it's that simple. The Lord's the one who performs triage on us. Oh, when we have physical infirmities going on and stuff, we're going to see that there's 19 other things that can be at play. And so what the Lord is doing is that He is deciding which part of our tripart being He wants to focus on first. What is in most need? What's the most risk-prone dimension of us at that point in time that He wants to focus on? Is it the body thing? Is it the soul? Is it the spirit part? He is the one who wants to perform triage in order to help us be healed in progression of the most important thing, the most critical thing, first. Do you trust Him with that? I know that, you know, most of us have the reflex that we just wish that we could pray, and whether it's anointing oil or calling the elders or confessing this or doing that, you know, we want instant healing of our bodies, and that proves to us that God really loves us. And if He doesn't physically heal us, why not? Why does He heal others but not us? What am I doing wrong? What is He doing wrong? What is going on here? And we can get very, very frustrated. Well, the simple truth is the Lord has a priority in mind. He's doing the triage. And it may be that He wants to focus on your soul first, because there's something seriously wrong. And here's the deal. The body is kind of like when we get physically sick of some kind, sometimes the body, who kind of keeps score of what's going on internally in our mind and our will and our emotions and our spirit, it kind of lights up. It's kind of like the oil pressure light on your car. If you're driving down the highway or the road or anywhere, and that oil pressure light comes on, bing, it's flashing red at you, that means your car needs oil now. It has drained so much that you need to pull over the side of the road because it's and make the phone calls, or get the oil out of the trunk if you happen to carry it with you, or call AAA, whatever it is, because you do not want to continue to drive that car with an engine that doesn't have the oil it needs to keep it lubricated and cool. You'll burn up your motor. You'll have a much bigger problem than you can imagine, you know. So that's why dads, you know, and moms teach their teenagers, look, if this ever happens, you just pull over and make the phone calls. Do not continue to drive the car when that red light that says engine or oil, whatever it is, comes on. My friends, very often a physical infirmity is a dashboard light that's flashing and saying something's going on deeper and deeper. Now, not all the time. It's not always some soul-related thing, you know, which we're going to get to again. We're going to tell you all kinds of things, remember. But I just want you to know that the Lord is not so one-dimensional that he's focused exclusively on physical healing. I don't know if you've been watching a marvelous series that's come out. It's called The Chosen. Its fourth season is just wrapped up. They're doing the fifth season. You can get it, you know, on different platforms, on your TV or on your phone or on your tablet or on your laptop, you know, and apps, The Chosen app. Anyway, it's a depiction of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples, and it's brilliantly written. Now, some of it is fictionalized because they're not trying to be the Bible, but they are telling Bible-based stories in the biblical era, and it's really helping you identify more with the humanity side of walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And in it is one of the characters, one of the James disciples named James, who is in this particular adaptation is given a physical infirmity. He's lame, and yet he's taught on how to heal others, and he doesn't understand that. And there's a marvelous scene where Jesus explains to him about this priority. Look, many can be healed and praise me, but those who don't have physical healing, but are so deep in me they can still praise me, now that's something to behold. Hang on to this, my friend. We're going to continue next time. I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, our creative healer.